It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
We're going to have a lot of fun with this show. I know that if you've ever tuned in before, you know I'm fascinated about life, in particular, what comes after this fun ride here on this plane. I'm curious. I love this outlet because it gives me an opportunity to connect with interesting individuals that want to talk about maybe a deeper, richer, more enriched side of life. I love to dig deep. And so we're going to talk all about it. But right before I introduce my guest, I want to mention Grief Day by Day, the fabulous Jan Warner from Grief Speaks Out. She's got that great Facebook page. A couple million people are on it. She's just incredible. She was gracious enough to send me a whole box full of Grief Day by Day, and she autographed them, and she put the coolest note inside. It says, I wish you love in this room and in the next room. So how sweet of her. So if you would like a copy, go ahead and go over to the Next Room Facebook page, and I'll put a post up. You'll see the picture of Grief Day by Day, and just, I don't know, we'll make it easy. We'll just, the first five people that want a copy of the book, you can just PM me a message, give me your address, and I will get them in the mail. And then please give her page some love too, because she's an amazing woman and she is helping people go through grief simply because of the grief that she went through in the loss of her husband. Very authentic, very wonderful, warm human being. So, okay, so tonight's guest is a very good friend of mine who I absolutely love to pieces. She's an intuitive, heart-centered, very plugged-in woman. Her name is Judy McNutt. She is a phenomenal artist. I have one of her original pieces hanging in my home that I absolutely love that other friends have tried to buy off of me, and I'm not going to let that happen. She's a best-selling author. She is a published poet. She's just amazing. She lets her inner guidance kind of figure things out, you know, and she just tunes in and plugs in. She's an energy expert for writers. And if you want to find out more about her, she has a great Facebook page and also a website. And it's called Igniting Your Writing. So Igniting Your Writing, you can find her on Facebook, give her some love there, and you can head to her website, it's ignitingyourwriting.com. Judy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Jane. It's a pleasure to be here. I really let spirit lead all the time now, not just once in a while. So I just want to say to that end, I was guided today to share. Okay, so first of all, let me just preface this by saying, okay, everyone experiences loss and everyone will be lost. Except not really, because we don't go anywhere. We just go round and round and round. And the other people, the other souls in the other room reach out to us from time to time, or even all the time. You are 100% in control of that. You are the master of your space around you and inside of you. So if that ever does not feel good, you can just ask that energy to return to source or sources. If it doesn't feel good, it should feel good when they connect. And and if it doesn't, you can even say things like, could you go away now and maybe signal me later? Because I can't handle this right now. Yeah, you are a sovereign being. Each one of us is sovereign being. And we came forth here for a reason and for our experimenting and for our fun and for our pleasure and for our joy and for our choices and our mistakes and our lovely mishigosh of life. But we're still sovereign beings. And I like to say the master storytellers. So to that end, I also would like to offer that basil, cedarwood, frankincense, patchouli, and a really awesome combination of sandalwood and rose are some really lovely aromatherapy oils to help people with grief and loss. And loss can be anything. It doesn't have to be a person. It could be a relationship, right? It could be just your expectations where you had expectations of how something was going to go, and it did not go that way, and you're going to feel the loss. And you, what you're mourning, what you lost, is that you think your container of love is broken, and your love is leaking out all over the place. But it's not true. Love is always present. Mm. Love is always there for you. And at any time, that energy of love, which is a whole lot like gravity, the energy of love can buoy you up and can actually heal you.
I love that. Would you give me the list of the wonderful scents for grief?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, and I have one more that's coming through right now. Okay, so basil oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you could put that, let me just tune in and see where they're suggesting. Okay, in the heart area, behind the ears, and the place behind your knees.
Okay.
Okay, and then cedarwood oil.
Okay.
Frankincense, that's a pretty common one. A lot of people mm-hmm. have that as incense, or the little resin, right, for the oil.
Yeah, and my patchouli. That one's great.
Patchouli is great. It's very nostalgic. My son calls it the hippy chippy dippy something oil.
Yeah. Right?
He's got some kind of rhyme. It goes, let's see. Oh, and the really, really, really great combination, it really eases the heart, is sandalwood and rose, that combination. Okay. And I'm not, I don't sell these oils or anything, but I do use them because my body asks for them. And that's the other thing that I wanted to talk about today, is to encourage people to listen to the body.
To tune in. Do you have a special way? Do you have like I don't know. Do you have a special way to do that? Can you teach other people how to just slow down and tune into that God-given intuition?
Certainly, certainly. It really begins with the breath. And, it's sort of the thing that everyone says, but the reason they do is because it works. Mm-hmm. It really does work. And so you're at night, oftentimes someone suffering grief has a lot of trouble sleeping. And so a really good way to just get centered and quiet is to breathe in and breathe out. And at the same time you're breathing, you're counting down from 100. So you just count every breath, but you're counting backwards from 100.
And just to relax.
Just to relax and chill out and get to the quiet place. And then once you reach the quiet place, if you want to invite the spirit in to comfort you, just ask for that. Just say, spirit, I need some comfort right now. And just please take my heart in your hands, slow everything down, and just let me go gently to sleep, and really just ask for what you want. I call that's my IT, my invisible team. And it's whoever is greater than you, whoever, your ancestors, angels, guides, ascended masters. And usually when I'm working with people in visionary writing, or just even writing in general, that's a huge part of what we do, is connect with the invisible team first. And the way in to that is really through the breath, is just to slow down and be quiet. Because the brain wants to hop around, it wants to drag in memories, it wants to make you feel bad, it wants to, because it wants to feel things. Mm-hmm. And, you get exhausted.
Right.
You just get so tired. And so the breath is a really great way in. The essential oils, and a huge portion of people who come work with me are suffering some sort of loss. And so we really turn to writing to heal and to lift your vibration up. Because loss is just such a drag on the emotions. And then if you hang out with somebody who's super empathetic, you think that would be helpful, but then now you've got two people suffering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's the early part of grief. I gotta say, I encourage people to feel what they feel and never, ever, ever try and talk anyone out of what they're feeling. I never, mm-hmm. ever do that. It really honors the loss to grieve it. It honors the love to grieve it, to grieve the loss. It honors the loved one to do whatever you feel like. I mean, if you have to go, you know, and lay in the front garden and sob, then the nicest thing to do for someone that's in that position is to let them do it, but maybe bring them a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, be comfortable for however long they're going to wail in the garden.
Right. Let's talk about the writing portion of this, because that really struck a chord with me when you said, you know, you, a lot of people that come to you for guidance are coming to you in their grief and you help them through their writing. And I'll just say that it's really one of the only things that has gotten me through multiple situations through my mother, my sister, and my dad, and putting pen to paper and just pouring out that pain. And it's not for anyone to read.
Right.
It's just for myself. And now I've had to revisit a lot of it because I'm writing The Next Room. And so I'm going through this. There's a lot of pain, you know, and I'm reaching for it now. And I'm like, whoa, you know, there's no way 8 years later I could remember what that felt like had I not expressed it in the written word. And although it's painful right now, it's super cathartic.
Yes.
So yes. That's what I'm finding.
Yes. When we're working together in that writing space, I encourage, especially when it's overwhelming like that, I encourage the writer to just find three words, just find three strong words that come out of the loss, three strong words. And we could do it right now. Tell me a word that comes to you.
Through my grief?
Out of anything, just whatever word just came to you that you didn't want to say just now, but you say.
Torment.
And what's another one?
Emotional duress.
Okay, one.
Duress.
Okay, and then a balance word.
Fairness.
Okay, so what we would do in a writing group is take one of those words. Let's take duress, and we're going to write a sentence that starts with the word duress. And the sentence is going to form a story, and it's a made-up story. So you're going to take these words that come from your feeling, your emotion center, and from your loss, and we're going to write a story. And it has nothing to do with grief. It's just a made-up story, starting with the word duress. And we write for 7 minutes. And what happens is, before you know it, you're actually healing. What you're doing is transforming those words. You're taking the emotional sting off of those words and using it to create something. So that's where the transformation comes from, is transforming the pain and emotion that's locked in there, like sticks to you like glue. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna chip some of those words off, right? And drop them into a story and create. And creativity restores balance and wholeness and reminds you of your sovereignty.
I like that. That's really good, Judy. That's a great exercise. I'll have to put myself through a couple of those, you know, because that's huge, because you're kind of taking away the power that the word has held over whatever circumstance you were going through at the time and the pain that you were feeling surrounding those said words.
Exactly. And like I said, grief and sorrow and pain and loss, just they could stick in your body like a glue.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity is a really excellent way. It's a solvent to dissolve that and let it flow and restore your balance and return you to sovereignty and return your power to you and heal you.
So cool. If you're, you know, just tuning in right now, my guest is Judy McNutt. She is a writer's energy expert, ignitingyourwriting.com. You can find her on Facebook. She's very active on social media. And if you're curious and you want to talk to her about energy and writing and connecting with whatever story you may have inside of you, I would highly recommend her. She has classes. She does all kinds. She'll do one-on-one kind of coaching training. She's super plugged in and I endorse her 100%. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you know what you're already doing? The other aspect of how I work with people, and that's to create a conversation. That's another way to heal yourself.
Mm.
You step into the role of your loved one and you just write down what you hear them saying.
Right.
And it can help you learn how to sort out what's really their voice and what is, you know, your ego. There's a really super easy way to do that. But that conversation, to get that dialogue going, it's really powerful.
Wow, that's so cool. I mean, you're right. And it has been super cathartic for myself. I mean, it's just been one of those situations where it has helped me through my grief in doing this show. I mean, here I am, you know, years later, I'm like, well, what do I want to talk about? And I hit up the owner of this network and said, is it too heavy if I want to talk about death? You know, but
yeah.
I wrote it up and he said, no, he said, I think it's great. Let's do it. And I said, it's not going to be all, you know, it's not going to be this depressing show. It's going to be about life because death is such a huge part of it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I really embrace the way kind of funerals are going more towards celebration of life. And, you should have seen my niece's memorial. I mean, the kids got up and did a dance, and people read poems, and somebody played a song, and then somebody else just shared, you know, the playlist that they and Jenny put together, and they played some songs from it. And, you know, I mean, it was like a whole life kind of a thing. And I really embraced that. Because, you know, you can spend, you know, the rest of your life grieving, but that's not what you came here for. And that's not what your loved one would want.
No.
I'm certain.
Yeah. No, it is about celebrating the life, and grief is difficult, you know, because everyone grieves in a different way, and you have to get, you know, the only way through it is through it.
Yeah.
You know, and you really can't, no one can tell you what to do or how to do it with that grieving process. So this has been, you know, for me, this is enlightening. I want to talk about what is next. So that's my question. What is, I mean, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but in the Judy McNutt description of the next room, what is next? You know, so many people have the whole heaven thing, the nirvana, the endless, do we reincarnate? What's your thought process on what is in the next room?
Yeah. Okay. One moment. Okay. Everyone who has crossed over is outside of time and space. So they can dip in and connect with you and still be very, very busy having gone on with their next thing. They can be present and not present at the same time because they're outside of time and space. We have these ideas that, oh, you know, I don't want to bother so-and-so because, you know, he or she is probably busy with their next thing. but they can blip in and it can seem like a half hour to you, especially if you're sitting there writing down what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But they're outside of time and space. So things don't behave the same way as they do here.
I like that. Yeah. That's beautiful. I had to write that down. So everyone who's crossed over is outside time and space.
Yeah. And they're available if you ask. And I do want to also say, if you don't want that, you don't have to have that either. It's your choice.
Yeah, I think that that's what kind of maybe might trip some people out. I, for one, love it. I love the connection. I love speaking to them. I love, saying good morning. I love singing happy birthday on their birthday. I mean, I speak to them daily. Mm-hmm. I'm to the point now that, you know, my husband doesn't even bat an eye when I'm out in the living room having a conversation, because it's one of two things. I'm either talking to a relative who has moved on to the next room, or it's my hummingbirds.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So he's okay with it. And that's good. I don't really consider it right, wrong, or indifferent. It just is my thought process, and it's how I feel. I feel mm-hmm. that we are connected, that we're always connected, that, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like I've been shown so many times the gifts and the different ways that they have connected back just to show me, yeah, hey, we're right here. It's all good. You know, we are right here with you if that's what you desire. Like you said, you don't have to do that. Some people don't want to. There's fear attached, I think. Or at least that's what I hear from yes. certain individuals. They really don't want to go there. It's yes. too heavy, too woo-woo, too whatever for them to open up and want to receive that kind of connection.
Well, let me just say that free will is always in place. And I try and stay open-minded all the time, and with other people's experiences, sometimes it can feel a little uncomfortable to me, especially when they say things like, you know, they've been overtaken and they, you know, didn't know what was going on and someone else is coming through and they have no power over it. And I'm just saying to you right now, straight up, that that is just not true. They're allowing it. That would be true. Mm-hmm. They're allowing the loss of their free will. I would never knowingly do that. So.
Well, I love it. And what is your, you know, you want to help people creatively tune in to their inner guidance and their writer and to get clear. So is that a good assessment of what you're here to do? Like, is, you know, cause you've done yeah. so much. I mean, you've done beautiful art and your poetry's fabulous and you have a beautiful book but now you seem to be really writing or working with writers.
Well, I really am focused on, the unwriting of a story, if that makes any sense.
Well, explain that.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that I'm as available as possible to people who have a story, and just pretty much everyone does, and they don't believe they can write it. And I've worked time and time again with folks with low writer's esteem. And in one session, they've written a story which blows their socks off and their pants up and down, and they are amazed. So anyone can write a story. And I just want to make sure that everyone who longs to write a story writes it. So that's the reason for my writing groups, because there's a certain energy there. There's an energy there that is just not present one-to-one. I mean, I can get pretty close. I can kind of be a group all on my own, but the writing groups are really powerful. Something magical happens just simply by having some other listeners. So you read your story out and you can feel how it bounces back from them back to you, even if they don't say anything. That energy is present for you. So it really is a valuable experience. So I'd say the writing groups are my favorite. And then my second favorite is working one-on-one with folks who want that confidential space. And I'm happy to provide that. And then my third thing is the self-guided stuff for the people who are just too busy to spit, but they're trying to fit something in around, you know, on the weekend or in the middle of the night when I'm not available or whatever. So, I try and provide that sort of a resource as well.
But
like I said, you know, my work isn't, it's not focused on loss as such, but as I said at the beginning, everyone loses someone, everyone grieves, and everyone is grieved. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. So it comes in waves in and out of our work together in the groups. Someone invariably loses something, a relationship, like I said, an expectation, a loved one. And all of this journey really began for me when I lost my parents both on the same day, a few days before my birthday.
Do you mind telling me about that?
Well, they ended their lives voluntarily.
Wow. Man.
And, it's just not something I would wish on anyone.
Mm.
It was a huge shock. I never, ever, ever thought, most especially my mother, would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had about 1,000 damn questions after that, you know, as you can imagine. And one day, literally, all of a sudden, I just started asking them and writing down what I was getting.
And do you feel like you ended up getting a lot?
Yeah, I got a lot. I got a lot of answers. And the thing is that I always trusted my parents and I always honored them and I always valued their advice and their wisdom. And I realized, well, I'm not going to stop now just because they've left the room.
Right.
Right. And so I maintained, I restarted the connection. And, you know, and whenever I want one or the other of them, I ask them to come in. I ask for the wisdom. And my dad is like, he comes in for practical things, like, you know, how to fix something or, and my mom comes in when love is in short supply in the moment. She,
right.
You know, she comes in and calms me and says, now let's look at the love of this.
That's so amazing. So you did not have any previous knowledge that that was going to take place?
No.
Wow.
No, I didn't. And since then I have done a lot of studying and working with others and learning, you know, different methodologies and modes and healing modalities and stuff like that. And so what I bring together in every single one of my groups and my sessions is all of that knowledge, the knowledge from beyond time and space, all of the, you know, earthly work that I've done. And, you know, I just really can save a person a heck of a lot of time because I went into the cave for 7 years, not literally, but
right.
Yeah. But, you know, emotionally and intellectually did a lot of front work. So that's, you know, and my loss of my parents was a huge lesson, huge lesson. I can't say that, you know, that I was all calm and philosophical all the way through. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. But I did give myself permission to grieve the loss and to actually just be lost, to feel lost, to feel not abandoned. That's not the right word. My mom saying, just alone, honey, you're all alone.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting emotional.
Yeah.
She's touching my part. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So it's, you know, and I love the way you present the joy of it. I love that. And the joy that you bring through in your relationship with your parents and what you're doing now. I just adore it. And I think it's going to heal the planet.
Well, you know what? That would be a great step in the right direction, because that's kind of always been my thing, you know, whatever we can do to help heal in any way, you know, however small, you know, if we can just heal one and then that one heals another one. So I hope so.
And how great a gift can we all give if we honor the passing of the wisdom of a loved one by telling their stories, by just even if you just tell, if you don't tell their story to your family, it's mm-hmm. going to be lost.
Right.
Now that's a loss. It's double, triple whammy loss, right? So,
exactly.
So don't let those stories be lost. Sit down, and at first you're going to think, oh, I can't remember them. I can't remember what she said about my great grandmother. I need a sip of water.
No problem. Well, we are almost to the end of the show. I lost touch with I lost touch with the studio in Detroit, and unbeknownst to me, I was on another chat window. And so I feel terrible. So I want to say thank you to Anthony for sitting in there, and I'm like frantic texting him every 5 minutes going, I'm sure we're close to the end of the show here. But it's okay, because we needed to gather more. So, Judy, thank you so much for coming on the show. My guest tonight is Judy McNutt, ignitingyourwriting.com. You know, check her out. Go to her website. Go to her Facebook page. If you have any questions for her, she is the real deal and super authentic and very heart-centered. So by all means, reach out to her and strike up a conversation, especially if you have that book inside of you. Let her know.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. I love you.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.